in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Shall we pray? We ask, Lord, that during this hour you will lead us in your way, you will teach us your truth, and you will share with us your very life, so that your name may be honored, our lives may be enriched, and our world through us may be blessed. It is in your name we pray. Amen. You may find your seats, and as you're doing so, how are you doing this morning? It is good to be with everyone again this morning, and for those watching at home, we welcome you as well. How many of you guys remember coloring your very first picture? When you're little and you put that crayon in your hand for the very first time, I'm sure we don't remember what it looked like, but I have a feeling it looked an awful lot like this picture here. We didn't care about what colors we used. We definitely didn't care about staying inside the lines, and it was just a bunch of scribbles and kind of messy. But as we got older, our pictures started to change, and it looked a little bit more like this one. We started carefully choosing the colors we wanted to color with, and we stayed in the lines a lot more often. And looking at these pictures, it reminds me a lot of how some people choose to live their lives. God has given us rules, commandments, 10 commandments for us to follow, things that we should be doing and things that we shouldn't be doing. And some people decide that they are not going to live by those rules. They're going to play by their own rules, and they're going to live outside of the lines. They think that their lives look beautiful, but when God looks at their lives, he sees it a lot more like this picture here. And then there are other people who strive to do the right things, strive to live inside the lines that God has created. But even them, as hard as they try, sometimes go outside the lines. And that's why we need Jesus as a Savior, because none of us can live inside the lines 100% of the time. And so is our decision this morning is, do we want our lives to look like this, or do we want our lives to look like this? God wants us to follow his commandments, his laws, and thankfully we have a Savior that loves us even when our lives are messy. And when we invite Jesus into our lives, he can give us the strength to live out his commandments. And so let's go to God now in prayer and ask him for his help. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, help us remember that you set boundaries for us. Help us to stay within those boundaries so that our lives will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's kids shout it out. Amen.
Well, speaking of coloring, if we have any children today here who like to color, we do have children's worship bulletins and coloring and crayons and a little snack even back there. So if we have any kids who would like any of that, please feel free to help yourselves on the back pew back there. As we come together in worship, each of us brings different things with us, different concerns, different joys, all of the parts of our lives that may weigh us down, things that we feel like we need to share with our God. And so we bring those all in to worship with us today. We take them to God together now. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for this week, which has presented us with the beauty of a new season all around us. We thank you that you've painted the world with colors that are breathtaking as they change. We watch the transition in the trees. We see the color begin to creep through the stems and start to saturate the leaves. How amazing it is to consider how you designed the seasons, and how gifted are we with the opportunity to watch your work before our eyes. We are aware that even as the physical changes occur around us, more change is coming as well. We begin to think about the winter ahead and make preparations for the differences that come with changing seasons. Today and each day, O God, help us to turn our hearts to you. We pause this day on our Worldwide Communion Sunday, aware of the millions of our brothers and sisters with whom we are united at the table of Jesus Christ. Unite us also in the commitment to service in your name. Bless your people wherever they gather on this day to worship you. Create unity, love, and Christian witness in each place. Even as we give thanks for the blessings of beauty and bread and cup, we also sense the great need all around us. It never quite goes away, but ebbs and flows with time. We pray for all who are in need this day. For those who are facing medical tests and upcoming surgeries, O God, we pray for peace and faith in your goodness. For those in the hospital or facing health challenges or even crises, we pray for healing and perseverance. For those who face more subtle challenges, mental health needs, loneliness, sorrow, or grief, O God, grant them your grace and loving presence to get through the hard times. Our church prayer list grows by the day, multiplied by the personal concerns that we lift to you. O God, this is a world in great need of your goodness. We continue to pray as wildfires ravage the western part of this country. Spare innocent life, Creator God, and innocent earth. Keep all safe who bravely fight the fires. We continue to pray for the COVID pandemic even as it hits closer and closer to home. We know friends and family who are sick from it, and we pray that corporately, as a whole people, we could put the health and respect of others ahead of our own so that we would take many steps to keep everyone healthy. We pray for our government leaders who have fallen ill. And for our country, O God, we pray that you would heal our deep divisions. Bring us peace in this land, a peace that surpasses our understanding. It seems impossible to us, but you are a God of the impossible. You make the impossible possible, and so we pray for your Holy Spirit to bring the impossible to life all around us. You gave us new life by giving us your Son, our Savior in human form. And we pray it in his name, in Jesus the Christ's name, as we pray together the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue through our sermon series that works through the book of Philippians, today we are turning to Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 4b and continuing through 14. Paul writes, If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We have been having a great time over these past few weeks hanging out with the Apostle Paul. We're in the sermon series called Joy in the Morning that is working through the book of Philippians together. We're finding that though Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians while he was stuck in prison, he was calling them to remain faithful in Jesus Christ as he himself was trying to remain faithful in Christ. He challenged them to rejoice and be glad in all things and in all circumstances and to find the goodness of God through everything. To find hope and encouragement in the midst of their lives. It's been wonderful to learn from him, to pick up bits and pieces and the ins and outs from his letter over these past couple of weeks. But now here today in worship, he comes to us with this challenge. And this challenge that we just heard in the scripture reading takes us aback. We are left wondering if we can actually do what he calls us to do today, to follow his teachings here in worship. Hearing his word today is almost like this. It's almost like we've been invited to a very good friend's house over for supper back in the pre-pandemic days. Remember those days? It seemed like years ago where we could kind of do whatever we wanted to do and go wherever we wanted to go. And so it's like that we've been invited over to somebody's house on a Friday night. The work week is over. The school week is done. Everybody is in a good mood and relaxed and having a wonderful time. And when you go to your friend's house that you have been to so many times, it is literally like for you, mi casa, su casa. My house is your house. You can take off your shoes. You can put your feet up on top of the couch. You know where the drinks are there in the fridge. You can help yourself any time that you would like. You even arrive long before dinner is ready, and everybody stands around snacking there in the kitchen, chatting and visiting together. The kids and the grandkids play in the backyard and even in the family room, and it is wonderful to be with close friends. You know what it's like. We all have friends like that. We're as comfortable as can be together. But just imagine if while you were sitting there eating supper together, something totally happens that is like out of this world that like takes you aback. Your friends come up to you and in the middle of eating your lasagna and breadsticks there at their table, they say to you, since we're great friends and we have been through so much together, would you mind giving us here today $10,000? Can I have $10,000 here today? Maybe you'd be like me and you'd be like, well, I didn't bring $10,000 here today to dinner. You might kind of stumble and bumble just a little bit. You're not quite sure what to say. Well, like, we got to talk about it before we give you all this money. You're not quite sure what to do and what to say. It's like that in the reaction that we just heard from Paul. We hear his letter and we're kind of dumbfounded by it all. Because up to this point in the book of Philippians, it's been all peaches and cream. Easy peasy. Love God, love Christ, check, check for us. But today, Paul comes at us quoting his resume. And he's humble bragging in the best way that Paul knows how. He's the best of the best, he says. He even lists it all off. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of the Hebrews. As to the law, he was a Pharisee, the strictest kind. As to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. He was zealous in all that he did. As to righteousness for the law, he said, he was blameless. Blameless, he said. He goes on and on talking about how amazing he was. And it's like you can almost hear him saying he could leap tall buildings in like a single bound. He has X-ray vision. He has super speed and super hearing. You can almost see him puffing out his chest about how amazing he is and being so fervent in his faith. But, he says, but even though he's done all these things, he has this amazing history and this great heritage. He says he's willing to throw it all away. He's willing to count it as a loss with the value of knowing Jesus as his Lord and Savior. All the accolades, all the fame, all the history and resume he had is second place with comparing to knowing Jesus and finding faith in him. We even heard the Bible reading today, Paul says, I count it as rubbish. One of my other Bibles says that Paul counts it all as sewer trash. It pales in comparison to having faith in Christ. Not that he's already achieved salvation or figured everything out, but for him, being on the right road is the most important thing. Now, this is tough. This is a challenging word from the apostle today. It leaves us kind of awestruck and kind of dumbfounded. I mean, we thought that we were becoming good friends with Paul. We've been hanging out together over these past 2 weeks. We've been feeling good about ourselves. We've been feeling more hopeful and more spirit-filled because though the world is falling apart around us, we've come to church looking for encouragement. We have logged on online looking for a good word and we've found it up to this point. But now Paul gives us this. I mean, we love our resumes. We care deeply about our status in the community. We care about our CVs. We tell our children to do their best in school and to get good grades. Study hard so they can graduate and get a good job, get into a good college, maybe even get a scholarship or two. In our world, we place a high value on individual achievement. Well done, we say, when someone does excellently. I mean, I don't know anybody. I don't know anyone who tells their children and grandchildren things like, well, you know, it's a new year and we're a couple of weeks in, but I want you to strive to be dead last. I want you to barely scrape by. And if worse comes to worse, maybe you can just be plain old average. No one says that. I don't know anybody who says, I want to be last in line. Even people like me with a last name Yonker, I don't like being last in line. We want to be first with all the accolades and all the achievement. But it seems that Paul is telling us this here. And here he was buttering us up the first 2 weeks in this series. But the thing is, he's telling us that having faith, following Christ and loving God and having the Spirit fill our lives is challenging. And sometimes, very often, living the Christian life makes us uncomfortable because the Christian life is countercultural and it changes how we act and view and see the world and name as being what's most important. Here today, as Paul is wooing us with these words of love and hope, he's making us rethink where our status and place comes from. He's challenging us to look again at the most important thing. I mean, like Jesus, I'm pretty sure that Paul does not care what kind of car we drive or where we live or how many awards we have. All those things are great and wonderful in life, and we want to do well, and we should want to do well. But Paul tells us all that is second. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. He challenges us to get rid of all those things that lay in the past and to strain forward to live like Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes on the prize in the narrow road of God. He's making us uncomfortable on purpose. We like our resumes and we like our pride and we like our status, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if our pride and status and our resume gets in our relationship, gets in the way of our relationship with Jesus, then we have work to do. Actually, we all have work to do because we've never fully arrived. We're never fully there. We are always a work in progress. But by God's grace, we're becoming more Christ-like every single day. Thanks be to God. Amen.
That lived in my past.
Thanks so much for joining us for worship, either online or here in person today. We hope that worship has filled your spirit and renewed you for your own journey of faith. If during worship today or if during these times you felt the presence of Christ moving in your life and you've never made before a public confession of faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're invited to come forward as we sing our last song today, or as we hum to our last song today. You're also invited to reach out to us this week via email or shoot us a message on Facebook so that we can help you with your walk with Jesus Christ. Along with us, if you'd like to make First Christian Church officially your church home, you can also come forward during our final song, or you can reach out to us as well. All of our gifts, all of our tithes and offerings, whether big or small, help us to live out our vision of a church that is growing in faith and sharing God's love. And so here following worship, we ask that you will you place something in the offering plate as you leave after worship today. You can give a gift online through our church website, or you can mail your check into the church here at 1221 Park Avenue. Because all of our gifts together, we know, help us live out our vision to be the church that we can be even during these days like today, these full pandemic days. God is still using us and blessing us even here and now.